Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Salt Strong Weekly Fishing Report. I'm Captain Paul Spurka from Captain Paul's Surf Fishing Charter and Captain Paul's Custom Rigs here in Port St. Lucie, and I guide and fish Florida's Treasure Coast from Vero to the north down to Jupiter to the south. Happy New Year, and this week we have a real fishing report. You know, last week we were hoping that the front pushed, you know, the front around Christmas pushed the pompano, mackerel, bluefish, and other species down in our area, and I'm happy to report the front did exactly what it was supposed to do. I fished with my son Randy over the weekend, and the pompano were chewing. We fished Saturday morning, and we fished for a couple hours Sunday, and we put over 20 pompano into the cooler, mainly because I have a commercial license, so I certainly didn't take over my limit. And there were fish that were put, you know, fish that we had up to 3 pounds. We also caught some bluefish. We caught blue runners. We caught jacks. And we even caught a few bonefish. You know, as far as time when these fish bite, you know, during the winter, the first light bite is what you're looking for with high tide. Well, we had the first light, obviously, and from 6:30 to 8, that seems to be, you know, that seemed to be this week after this front came through, the magic hour when we had some good action. Now, the tide changed in the afternoon when that incoming started to turn and come in. Well, guess what? They started to bite again. You know, this time of year, high tide and early a.m. is usually the combination that you're really looking for. And actually, we didn't have that. We had a dropping tide all morning. Now, depending on where you're fishing and the depth of water where you are, down here on the south end of Hutchinson Island in Martin and St. Lucie County, after the hurricane this past year and the northeast wind after it, a lot of our beaches filled in, so it's kind of tough. It was kind of tough to be able to fish low tide down here. So you're basically in the morning, what we had to do this week, you had to cast it just as far as you could if you wanted to take a bite of that bewitching hour, you know, from 6:30 to 8. But, you know, it's obviously as the weeks go on, obviously the tide changes an hour every day. And of course, we'll be in that situation coming up where we have high tide in the early morning. And let's talk about bait. What were they biting on? Well, I'm going to give you three names. It's called fish bites, and fish bites. Power lime crab again this week. Electric chicken crab. And the Easy Flea, all caught fish. Power lime out fishing the other two. You know, we still don't have any natural, you know, we're not seeing any sand fleas in our area, so we haven't got any live fleas. Some of the guys are bringing them in from out of the area to the south of us and to the north of us. But these, you know, if you've got those fish bites in your arsenal, you're going to catch some pompano. There were some bluefish around. Like I said, they were not a nuisance. Down in Hope Sound, they caught quite a few bluefish this week. That area seems to hold, you know, the Bridge Road Beach tends to hold a lot of bluefish. And casting spoons in the morning, I know some folks who were down there doing that, having some fun. But you just had to get out 80 to 110 yards if you wanted to take advantage of that early morning bite. And what happened in the afternoon, 60 to 80 yards was far enough. As the water came up, that 60 to 80 yards area was where the fish showed up. And, you know, as the tide changes, especially when incoming, stagger your cast. You know, I'm fishing four rods. I'm, you know, in the afternoon, in the morning, I'm fishing them four of them as far as I could throw when it's a falling tide and getting to the low cycle. But as the tide changes, you know, couple at 100, maybe one at 80 and one at 60. And, you know, the fishing up and down our area here on the Treasure Coast after the, you know, starting this past weekend, after the front came through and the wind backed off a little bit, what was nice, the fish were spread out. We caught them in Jensen Beach. We caught them in Stewart. They caught them in Hope Sound. They caught them at the Wildlife Refuge down in Hope Sound and at the public beach. So there's a nice, nice spread of fish. So we had two real good days of pompano fishing. And Yesterday, I took, if anybody follows, there's a young lady and her better half there, Brian and Darcy from Darcy's. I'll usually take them once or twice a year. And, of course, yesterday being Monday, they wanted to take advantage of the way the fishing was. And I'm going to start this fishing report for yesterday as my best line, my first line for my Pompano seminars, the most consistent part of surf fishing for Pompano, is the inconsistency and the ability to catch them in the same area on a day-to-day basis. All that fishing being good, we put in almost 7 hours yesterday, and we did not come up with a pompano. Talking to 12 or 13 other of my friends, commercial friends and recreational ones yesterday, those fish took a day off. They took a day off everywhere from Jupiter all the way up to Fort Pierce, and they just didn't bite. So that happens. Now, I will give you a fishing report from yesterday that is positive. We were waiting for those big mackerel schools to show up, and yesterday there's an area, and I've mentioned it before, where the commercial and recreational boaters just hammer the Spanish mackerel during the winter, and it's an area called Pex Lake, just south of St. Lucie Inlet on the north end of Hope Sound. And I will tell you, yesterday they crushed them there. Those mackerel are in Pex Lake. One of my friends I was fishing with has both a mackerel license and a pompano license. And the fishing yesterday was so poor on the beach, he packed his surf rods up and went down and got his boat in Hope Sound and headed out to Pex Lake to put some mackerel in the boat. But, you know, Darcy and Brian, you know, all we managed yesterday was a bluefish, couple blue runners, and one bonefish. The pompano just weren't there. They shut off, and that happens. I mean, it just happens. That's fishing, and you know, that's pompano fishing. More importantly, because you're just not going to catch them every day. And this, you know, you want to go to your favorite beach every day. You know, it's like a clock that's broken, you know, twice a day, it's going to be right. It's just not, you know, that fishing's not going to be consistent or real good at every spot, at your spot or at one spot, you know, 3, 4, 5 days in a row. And we experienced that yesterday. We had great conditions. We had good water color. We had no excuses as far as Mother Nature. The pompano just weren't there. But the thing is, nobody caught them yesterday. But I do want to go over a couple things, and like I said, you know, the baits that we're using, the power line crab, the electric chicken crab, the easy flea, all caught fish. Now, I will tell you that when I start out in the morning, I will start out with different colors and different scents of fish bites on. You know, I'm fishing four rods, so I'm putting at least three different types of fish bites out, and these are the three I've been using. My fourth rod would have yellow crab that didn't do very well, where the power line crab certainly outfished all three of the others. And you know, we switched over to power line only because even the other fish that we were catching them on the power line crab, even though they weren't pompano. But the pompano tend to have if they start to show a preference, that's what you need to do. But I want to talk about a couple different things here. And yesterday morning was a perfect example. I want to give you a couple hints and talk about a couple practices that you should probably do if you're going to surf fish for pompano. And yesterday, if you couldn't reach them in the morning because we were fishing a low tide cycle, you need every inch out of that rod and reels if you've got to launch it. And there's a few things to do to improve your distance. And I want to go over a couple of those things with you. First of all, as far as distance is concerned, the tip of your rods, of your surf rods, because it's salt water, obviously, will develop, depending on how many casts you make, how long you fish, will develop a salty, you know, abrasive residue on the tip. And that tip, I bring some Penn rod and reel cleaner with me that has petroleum base. If you keep that tip clean, your line flowing through that tip when you cast it, if it's not abrasive and it's nice and slick, you can actually pick up, you could pick up some distance. And if you didn't have distance, if Randy and I, because we had that low tide cycle with that early morning bite over the weekend, if you can't reach these fish, even though it's the early morning and prime time, you're not going to catch them. So any type of advantage or any type of edge you can give yourself, cleaning your tip of your rod is one of them. Another one that is really, really, really obvious, and in the distance, I have a situation on my pickup where I have rod racks on the top of my car, so I don't have to break my rods down. But my son Randy, for example, he is a sport utility and he's fishing 12-foot rods, and he has to break them down to get them in the car so we can go to work or back home or wherever he's going. But remember one thing: when you break your rod down, when you reassemble it for your next day fishing, I have seen instances, and I've seen it with Randy, he'll say, boy, I'm just not casting the way I did yesterday. Make sure when you put the two pieces of your rods together, and some folks are using some 14-foot rods now that are three-piece, you got to make sure that those guides are perfectly aligned. Because even being off a quarter of an inch, and that you don't have that straight, I call it direct line that goes from your reel right up. Now there's nine guides on my rods. You know, if you have one that's a little bit off, it's going to kind of detour that line a little bit, and it's definitely going to cost you some distance. So what I recommend is look after you put them together, turn your rod over, look down the guides, and make sure they are perfectly aligned, because them being off just a little bit will cost you some distance. And the last thing is, especially if you're fishing down our way, I mentioned before, you got checking your baits. Here's a tip that's really obvious, but we yesterday and fishing with Dar Sizzle yesterday, we were inundated with crabs. Now the crabs, you'll start to notice that the crabs will take your fish bites off the hook and just leave you the mesh. But, you know, I always say, I always tell everybody, check your baits at least every 10 to 15 minutes. Yesterday, if you didn't check them every 10 minutes, you were fishing with empty hooks. So make sure you check your baits. Make sure you keep your tip of your rod clean for distance. And make sure your rod is perfectly aligned. The other tip I want to talk about that's related to this past weekend, I use shock leaders. I'm using 15-pound mono that I've talked about before, and I'm using 30-pound shock leaders so I can have the ability to cast a 4-ounce or a 5-ounce sinker without breaking the sinker off. Because if you tie it directly to 15 pounds, you might not do it the first time, but you're gonna get your longest cast every day, and that sinker is going to be on the way to the Bahamas. But that 15-pound can't take the stress or the pressure of a 12- or 13-foot rod when you go to launch it. So I changed the shock leaders because what happens, the shock leaders will develop some memory. And when they develop some memory, they start to curl, and you want the line as straight as possible. But also the tip on the shock leader is, and the main line, they will develop nicks. We have a lot of cracked clamshells down here that you're dragging. You know, if you're at 100 yards, you're going to be dragging that line through some situations. And if there's an angle on the beach, it's going to be going through the clamshells. Well, a couple things happen. You can nick your line. Or the shock leader, you can nick the shock leader and develop a weak spot. And, of course, all of us, I'm sure, at one time or another have gotten, you know, you see a little bit of fray, it should be okay. You know, the pompano are only a pound and a half, and I'm okay. I don't have to change the leader. I don't have to change or cut off a little bit of the main line and retie. And that next cast is the one you're going to hook that 20-pound permit, and guess what? The permit wins. It's going to win every time. As far as the shock leaders with the memory, I change my shock leaders after every trip. If I'm out 3-4 hours, I know I'm going to have some memory, and I want the best situation possible for distance. And I will give you a tip on the shock leaders. What I use is made by a company called P-Line, P as in Paul Line, and I use 30 pound. I use about 10 or 11 feet of it. And the reason I use this type of line, and it's a recommendation, I got friends that use 30 pound mono. You don't have to use fluoro. I happen to like it. And the reason I like the P-Line, I join my main line to the shock leader with a blood knot. And by so doing, when I snug the blood knot down, the P-Line is a softer fluorocarbon. Now, fluorocarbon can be abrasive. It can be stiff. So what happens now with the fluorocarbon, this P-Line, it's a softer type. I don't like it for making rigs because I do like some rigidity on the on my rigs when I do make them, because I want the hook coming off the main line, staying away. But this being a bit softer, what happens, it will cinch down, and the profile of the knot, the blood knot, when you join it to your main line, it has a much lower profile than regular 30-pound mono, or in some cases, different types of, whether it's Seaguar or whatever you use for your fluorocarbon. The softness of this leader cinches down better. So when I go to cast, that splice knot from the main line with the shock leader flows through my guides. I don't even give it a thought that it can get hung up on one of the guides, even some of the smaller guides as you get out towards the tip of the pole. So the shock leaders I change after every trip. And I will tell you that depending on how many trips I have this week, I back my you don't need 420 yards of 15-pound high-vis yellow like I have. That's the line that I use. You don't need 420 yards of that on your spool if you're using a long cast spinning reel. You do want a full spool, because a full spool will certainly give you more distance than if you got a half spool when you go to as far as friction and casting. But I change that top 150 yards about every fourth or fifth trip, because the other thing is that, you put new line on there, and mono's not like using braids. It's pretty affordable, and if I'm out trying to put people on fish, I want an advantage. But the new line, when you put on, number one, has no memory, it has no nicks, and it's shinier because, if you look at your monofilm that you're using on your reels now, and you're starting to see it's a little bit flatter, a little bit chalky, and you're losing that shiny brightness, slickness, you're probably questioning yourself some distance there too. So I change that every fourth or fifth trip. It will make a difference. It will make a difference. Now, and now as far as tips, that's pretty one I had. Check your bait. Check your guide alignment. Keep the tip of your pole clean, and by all means, you will certainly pick up some distance. Looking forward, boy, I tell you what, going ahead, we're having a pretty good cycle. Now, I got to tell you, of course, yesterday being Monday, we didn't catch anything, and the inconsistency showed again, because those fish that didn't bite yesterday decided to make a showing again today, and everybody's catching pompano this morning. I spent some time at Bass Pro today, so I couldn't fish, but a couple friends of mine are in that 14, 15 pompano range, a couple of the commercial guys. Randy stopped for an hour on the way to work. He had an hour to kill. He put three of them up to about 3 pounds real quick in the cooler. Our water color is good. The water temperature is good. Everything down our way here on the Treasure Coast is pretty darn positive as far as fishing. The mackerel fishing right now is going off down at Peck's Lake. So looking forward as we approach next week, I have no reason, absolutely no reason to believe that I'm not going to be here telling everybody about what a great week we just had. There's no big no big wind events coming, it looks like. I will tell you, make sure that you have a good supply of fish bites, because when you start catching all these other bycatches, the bluefish, you know, you'll catch some mackerel, you're going to catch some jacks, you're going to catch some ladyfish. There's been a lot of blue runners around. You might get sharked off a couple times. Sharks haven't been that much of an issue, and boy, we've been lucky down here. I'm going to knock on wood, but I hope it stays that way. But you can certainly go through some bait. 3/4 inch, cut them into a diamond shape, put them on your hook, cut a little slit in the tail. They have a tendency to flutter in the water, but I see no reason that next week, you know, we should be getting more fish coming down in the area. So as we, you know, as we look ahead into next week's fishing, I'm hoping I'm doing a ditto of what I did today as more fish migrate down into the area. It's been a darn good week, and I look for that to continue. So in closing, I want to thank everybody for checking out Salt Strong's weekly fishing report here on the Treasure Coast. This is Captain Paul Spurko from Captain Paul Surf Fishing Charters in Port St. Lucie. Good luck this week, and catch them up. And I look forward to being back with everybody again next week, so we can, and when I want to give everybody positive results. Again, feel free to, if you're coming down into the area, my number is 609-903-8243, whether you want to charter or whether you just want some info, some intel. You're new to the area. You're fishing. You're coming down from out of our area, because we have a lot of transient anglers that come down. We have people from as far south as Miami over the weekend that had heard about the Pompano biting. I'm happy to share some of that information with you. So feel free to text or call me, and I hope everybody has a great week. Again, Happy New Year. Stay safe, and thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.